Begin to eat the dust, the dust of Baja California.
It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today.
I thought you all might begin your tour here.
Hello and welcome. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and you're listening to Radio Free Gaming Presents Somebody Else's Podcast, Volume 8. What a busy week it's been already. I mean, can you believe it? Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie are going to be going to jail soon. Oh, we finally have a Simpsons movie after 20 years, and can you believe it? There's a Lego Indiana Jones. Dig it. But we're not going to talk about any of that stuff. No. Instead, we're going to look at somebody else's podcast. That's right, this is Somebody Else's Podcast, the show where we look at everybody else's podcast so that you don't have to listen to them. We listen to Major Nelson, to 1UP, to IGN, to GameSpot, to really everybody else's podcast, and we take the best and worst moments, and then we combine them into this brilliant little show that hopefully has some witty dialogue. So why don't you just stick around, because we have an excellent show lined up for you today. This is Somebody Else's Podcast, Episode 8. Well, hello to everybody out there. It's been a few weeks since we have had one of these episodes of Somebody Else's Podcast, but that doesn't mean that we've ignored all of our fans out there, no. It's been a busy couple of weeks, though, I'll be honest with you. I've, of course, been down in Santa Monica, down in California. We did the E3 thing there for about a week. We came back, and then we just wrote about it, and boy, did we write. I had a ton of reviews to do. I had a bunch of articles to get done, and it's been one thing after another. But we're back, and we've decided that maybe we should start off this episode of Somebody Else's Podcast with a couple of E3-related clips. Now, let's start with Major Nelson, who we met down, of course, we met him down there at E3, and this isn't the first time. We also saw him last year at PAX. We were on his show, his Major Nelson podcast. I forget which number it was, but it's back there somewhere. But anyway, let's get this started with what he thought of Microsoft's press conference, and I bet you can already guess what he thinks, but well, let's just roll the clip.
So E3 was the E3 briefing was just nothing short of phenomenal in terms of some of the excitement that we had in the audience. You saw the Halo 3 console that was held up. Peter Moore held that up.
Nothing short of phenomenal, huh? Well, I'm not sure Major was at the same press conference I attended, and I'm not the only one. Well, Maybe we should go ahead and listen to what some of the other showgoers thought of the Microsoft press conference. Well, like for example, here's what IGN thought.
It is, what time is it? It is 10:42 p.m. on July 10th, 2007. We have just finished watching Microsoft's E3 conference. We're fresh from it. It was a lot of work. We did a pretty good job covering it, I think. What are your initial impressions, Craddock? This is your new beat. Microsoft is your bread and butter.
You know, I was kind of underwhelmed, but I like what I saw at the same time. I mean, other than Resident Evil 5, I didn't really see anything unexpected, but I did like what I saw.
All right. Well, maybe that was just one guy. Maybe we should move on. What's the next guy think?
But no, yeah, I agree with Craddock. I was very, very underwhelmed.
Well, that's just what a couple of guys think, and I mean, geez, that's on the first day. Maybe they had some time to rethink it. I don't know. What does the rest of the IGN team think?
So Microsoft kicked it off Tuesday, 8:30. They were the first conference. I think we all kind of left there going, what just happened? Like, you know, it wasn't that it was horrible, but it certainly wasn't anything special either. I think they played it really safe, don't you think?
Well, you know, those people are anti-Xbox 360 to begin with. I mean, you know, I wonder what all the people over at the official IGN Xbox 360 podcast thought of the event.
So, yeah, the press conference then, I think it kind of just went downhill from there, because then they started doing their normal BS, where they just kind of throw out all their marketing crap, and then they did Zenit and Viva Pinata, and
then they glossed over a bunch of cool announcements.
Really big announcements.
Like Marathon. Unreal Engine 3 having live support in it, so all PC games probably are going to have a bunch of live stuff.
The Call of Duty 4 public beta thing, that was like, nobody mentioned that. I think that's going to be cool for users to
I thought that the Marathon. Unreal thing was actually the biggest announcement at E3, and it was completely glossed over. And when you consider that Microsoft knew that Unreal Tournament the next day was going to be announced exclusive for PS3, you would think they would want to focus and go, hey, the most popular game engine out there is going to have games for Windows support built into it.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
Yep.
Huh. You know, that's actually a good point. I didn't even think of that. And you're right. I did miss that. What the hell, Microsoft? I thought this was a nothing short of phenomenal. Well, maybe it's just IGN. Maybe they're just warping my mind. Let's see what 1UP thinks.
Let's get right into Microsoft, because that was a weird press conference last night, wasn't it?
It was outdoors, which is very strange. We've never had that happen before.
In a high school auditorium outside.
Yeah, but the high school, its auditorium looks like it's Marine World or something.
Yeah, apparently, I wondered what the deal was. It had like a water feature on the
stage.
They
built that.
No. The water feature was there. They just put stuff around it.
State synchronized swimming championships.
It
had
a pool, and they put stuff over the pool and sort of sculpted around it, but the pool was there already.
Well, as anybody who's watching the press conference on the net or on TV knows, they started it in kind of, I think, a vaguely lame way with this band.
There's nothing really vague about it.
Yeah, this band made up of five Super Halo fans from like Indiana or something.
What do you call that band?
They believe they were called.
They're called
Corporeal.
Okay, because I call them Corporeal Speedwagon.
Yeah, if you want to download their stuff. Anyway, they played a very spirited cover of the Halo title screen theme.
All right, so it's not just IGN. Well, what does GameSpot think?
Let's start with Microsoft. Definitely a solid press conference all the way around. Showed some games.
had some amazing moments.
Played some CNET, yeah. Rolled out an amazing new executive.
Sure. That guy? Yeah. Pulled him out of his vat, right?
Yeah. Hello, let us play some CNET. Hello, Reggie Bush.
Now, how much would you pay? Dog.
What up, dog?
They need more humans to be at these press conferences, or at least people that can pretend that they might be human. What people were talking about as they were walking away from the Microsoft press conference, it wasn't like, oh, awesome, new Halo 3 Xbox, it's green, that's cool. It wasn't like, oh, sweet, I can't wait to play Mass Effect. It was like, to a person, it seemed like everyone was like, can you believe that guy they brought out on stage? What the hell, man?
Poor guy.
You realize we're all going to be killed now. So.
Well, I'm just saying what everyone else had to say. Leading out of that, and I tend to agree. Like, not a good showing.
I'm a reporter. I speak the truth.
That's they need someone who can talk the talk a little better, I think.
Come on, you guys, you're killing me here. I mean, Major Nelson said it was nothing short of phenomenal. Yet, all of you guys who attended it, and you all seem to dislike it. I mean, what's wrong with you people? Now, listen, it can't be that Major Nelson is wrong. Major Nelson's never wrong. Listen to this next clip, and you'll see that Major Nelson isn't wrong.
And then after that, we jumped into a car with a couple of folks and went over to the Sony briefing, which was over in Culver City. And I was invited, I want to make sure that you guys know this, I was invited to the Sony briefing by David Carricker. David, I want to thank you for your invite. I sent you some email thanking you for that. Hopefully you got into ours okay. We did kind of a diplomatic ticket exchange between Sony and Microsoft, so I was helping to broker that. So thank you, David. It was great to be in there, but wow, what was the deal with those seats? For those of you that attended that, they kind of crammed us into these really tiny seats. It was like a coach seating in an airplane. We were so crammed in there.
All right, so we learned that Major Nelson isn't always right. That's fine, whatever. But we learned something in this clip that we didn't know before. Major Nelson has some big balls. Some really big fucking balls. How else do you explain the fact that for 2.5 hours, Microsoft made us sit on fucking concrete And we watched the most boring experience of all time. The only thing that they gave us were these little foam butt pads that weren't even comfortable. They had stupid writing on them. It was just the worst experience ever. We were in a high school. Everybody hated it. Yeah, okay, it was outside, but it was on fucking concrete. And yet here you are complaining that Sony, of all companies, that Sony, who actually gave us chairs, has uncomfortable seating? Fuck you! Okay, that's like Nintendo complaining that Microsoft is spending too much time on first-party games. It's just wrong. Okay, maybe we should get off of Major Nelson's balls and focus on the next clip. All right, so it's that time again to check in with our good friends over at AchievementJunkies.com. Now, of course, we introduced you guys to this podcast last episode. This is the show where they thought that numbers were biased, and of course, Bomberman, they had no clue that Bomberman was a multiplayer game. Well, they're back. And they have some more information, or I should say misinformation, for us to correct. So take it away, Nelson and Natalie.
The 101st word, a waste of time.
What you're doing for us, Nelson, is saving people time.
I know.
Do you understand how valuable our time is? Apparently
yes,
you do.
I do. And here's another way that I want to save your time.
Okay.
Do not play Super Contra.
No.
Don't play the demo. Don't look at the name of the game in the list of games that can be downloaded on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes.
In fact, erase it from your head.
Just don't even think about it, basically.
Yes. It's an arcade game that was released in 1987, which is 20 years now.
Okay? It is. It's very, very
old.
It's a score ago. You get to play a commando who battles it out with his enemies.
It goes into that whole retro thing. It was supposedly one of the very popular versions of Contra.
Right.
It must have been on the Super Nintendo, right?
It was. It came out on Super Nintendo 1988, really. Yeah. Way back in the day.
And I'm not going to do it.
It was made popular, though, because it was one of the first games at the time, arcade games at the time, to include two players at the same time.
Well, you've just wasted time I can't get back.
I thought that was a neat note.
No! No! If you don't know anything about retro gaming, then don't talk about retro gaming. Okay, Super Contra did not come out on the Super Nintendo. In fact, there wasn't even a Super Nintendo in 1988. The Super Nintendo came out in 1991, for crying out loud, or if you're a Super Famicom owner, 1990. Super Contra was, they released it on the NES. It was a slightly redone, you know, rejiggered version of it, and it was called Super C, but it was still Super Contra. It was an NES game. Not a Super NES game. Get your facts right, people. But we're not going to let Natalie and Nelson off the hook just yet. We have another clip that I think that you should hear. This involves their thought on that game, Fear, which came out, I think it was last year. It was based off of the PC game, came out on the Xbox 360, and I think just recently on the PlayStation 3. Well, what does Nelson think of this game?
There's three new Capture the Flags and Conquer All maps available.
Did you play Fear at all when it came out?
I did for like 2 seconds. I didn't really like it. It wasn't my thing.
Now, this is based on a PC. Well, it's like a port of a PC game that
that
feels to me like it came out 32 years ago.
Why do you say that?
Because it has exactly that feel of modern gameplay.
Okay. 32 years ago.
This is another game where a lot of people liked it, and I didn't like it at all. I don't even know. I'm not sure. I'm having a crisis of faith right now.
You know what? You have to ask, why did people like it at the time? Did it come out when
because
there were no
desperate
other games? Exactly.
See, they're to blame. People have been blaming.
No. You're
going
to blame the people.
Can you let me finish my point?
Sure.
People are blaming casual gamers for the decline of gaming as a hobby. You know who's to blame? People who buy Fear.
Yeah, Fear sucks. I mean, with its creepy atmosphere and amazing artificial intelligence, who needs Fear? Well, let's play us a clip from IGN that actually happened like a day after this Achievement Junkies recording.
I'm sure they're going to agree with Nelson and Achievement Junkies on Fear. Just take it away.
Wait, are they talking about this current generation?
That's it. Like, current first-person shooters. Is there one you prefer?
Fear is fun.
Fear one is just fun. I really like Fear.
Fear was good.
Fear is an odd choice. I don't think too
You're
many people would
choice.
Say. Yeah, I know.
Nice hat.
Yeah.
I like Fear.
Fear was cool because it had really good AI. And it was, you know, scary. So
it was moody. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
It's not like, we're going to war. Shoot him in the face.
You know? The demons are coming up from the underground. Fuck them.
Shit. Huh. IGN is right. Fear's a whole lot of fun. I don't know. Achievement Junkies, maybe you're just wrong. Right, gang, well, we've made it to our very, very last clip of this episode of Radio Free Gaming. And of course, as always, we check in with our good friends over at Games for Windows Radio. I know you've heard it before, but I don't actually play a whole lot of PC games, but I love the Games for Windows podcast, and, well, you know, you've heard the spiel before, so let's just get into this 8-minute-long clip. That's right, this is an 8-minute-long clip, and, well, I wouldn't play it if I didn't think it was worth it, so just listen up, get ready to laugh, because this is, by far, the funniest clip of the episode. Enjoy!
I kind of found this, I forgot, a listener sent me a personal message through 1UP.com and tipped me off to a post by a guy named Nanaki Wolfman, and that was hilarious, and unfortunately didn't print correctly, so I couldn't read the whole thing, but what I did was I took this guy's name and I put it in, you know, as a search term in Google and found that he's a busy guy, so he's posting on, like, Yuffie forums, which is a term for when furries copulate, and
wait, what's it called?
Yiffing.
How do you spell
Yiffy? Y-I-F-F-I.
Y-I-F-F-I?
Yeah.
Remember it.
It was like
you're
going to
Google
something.
It later, Jeff?
Because I sent the link to a friend,
my wife,
and he was like,
on a couple
fuck you, dude. I'm not opening a link that starts with Yiffy.
Yiffy.
And so while I don't have that, I found the same guy posting on the Fantasism forum. And Nanaki Wolfman... His original post, what it revealed to me was that he was saying that it's social pressure essentially that makes us that makes you know, a straight man think that, like, Charlize Theron is attractive or whatever, and that
it's social pressure.
I think he was willing to concede to some extent that yes, like. I don't know. I'm getting all.
But wait, if we could take the social pressure off and just admit it to ourselves,
then you would like what he likes.
Oh, okay.
He's freed himself.
It's not his problem.
The
it's
character
our problem.
That he must right. be called. The character must be known as Nanaki in the Japanese version of the game.
Okay.
But Ryan, help me. This is just Final Fantasy. It's not seven, is it?
That's seven.
Or is it seven?
Red 13.
Red 13.
Yeah, that's seven.
Is basically a lion. Okay. A very mean one.
Got tattoos.
That he's attracted to?
So, yeah. So, in this thing, he goes on and he's talking about how, you know, how gorgeous, and everyone would, you know, the scales would fall from their eyes and they would see how gorgeous and lithe and ferocious Red 13 is.
Wow. So, he's like out of the Matrix.
We're he's definitely out of the Matrix.
Liking our...
Swallowed something.
Okay.
waiting for the laugh. Nice. Supposed to be a punchline. Okay. So Nanaki Wolfman poses the question to his fellow Fantasism forum goers that would our characters really want us? And he says,
wow,
I'm not even ready for it. God, I didn't know voice for this. I actually had, when I was singing about Naruto, I came up with some other voice. I already forgot what it
maybe,
was.
Maybe
to work
emo
on it.
Nerd.
But okay. I just had a thought that if Nanaki were really physical on this world, what are the chances he would want me? I'm so passionate about him. But I think my wanting to be around him so much would simply drive him crazy. Nanaki doesn't seem the type to want to settle down, and from his experiences wouldn't really like to get that friendly with humans. In a way, I am glad that I can have him only in my thoughts and dreams. If he were real and rejected me, it would hurt badly.
Now I can only hope to dedicate much of my time to showing him, whoever I think he is, that I do indeed care for him.
So
okay, so not only is he fantasizing about this animated creature, he's already neurotic and needy for him.
Exactly.
Why won't he guy need therapy now, in a bad way?
Why won't Red 13 call me?
Poster Enigma 13.
Maybe I'll play hard to get, then he'll want me.
Poster Enigma 13, who takes his avatar and his whatever after, I can't tell, is that Digimon or Pokemon? Some piece of shit looking thing.
Who's the expert on this?
Hey, excuse me, they're
that's
very
Pokemon?
Different.
I think so.
Okay, so here's
a
Pokemon.
That's
a
Mewtwo, everyone, Mewtwo.
Okay, and he goes,
which Pokemon?
It's a critical question, and the answer is different for all of us. Some of us love malicious characters who would sooner kill you than love you. In those cases, we may be a little unrealistic in our hopes. Here's how I see it. I think that this immense need, this love, is something so strong that when we meet our characters, it will be something that they can't deny. I don't know about you, but if I could meet one of my loves and be friends, I'd be fine. I think if we don't approach them like crazy, love-needy freaks, then we have a chance with any one of them. And if we finally find them and ruin it by acting like possessive fools, then they'll probably take it as they see it and get away from you. But if you calmly approach them and let them know the immense passion you feel, they may admit to it. They may not.
This guy has a way better chance of scoring.
I believe in anything with the heart, guy. Which shows some sympathy to our situation.
He's got a rap laid out.
He does. So third guy
player.
Joins in.
Okay.
Because this is a debate here. Like, this is not, you know, there's no.
How should
consensus.
We approach our animals? Okay.
It's either Gilmon or Gaomon, and this is definitely a Digimon. And he says,
I agree with Enigmamon and with the one I love. Gaomon is an affectionate, loving, caring Digimon. He would be happy someone likes him so much. Of course, he may not understand at first, but he'd grow into it, and then he'd eventually feel the same about me as long as I show him the way I feel. I'm sure Nanaki would be the same way. Maybe not as playful, maybe not as trusting, and maybe not as friendly as Gaomon would be at first, but he'd eventually get there. Nanaki's not a cruel person. He's kind-hearted and a little naive. Of course, there's a chance for both of you.
Then, okay, let's just keep going. We had, actually, did you notice we had someone walk by?
Yeah, we had a couple people on the fifth floor walk by and give
they
us
don't
weird
like that
looks.
Voice.
Yeah, they don't like that voice.
So let's take it
it's
back
a little
to
too close to home.
Character.
Yeah, so,
to,
On a more liberal note, if their psychology is similar to that of humans and they have libido, then there's always a chance your character could be into you, even if he's not human. That would be interesting.
Then, yeah, okay, wouldn't it? Then the super spastic one that they're gonna call security on me if I do again says that he hopes his character would be into him because he has a long-standing plan to marry him.
We're back to that again.
That guy that walked by ruined it, man. I'm going to blame it on him. Why can't I come down
just
into
do
your
floor? Just
do it. Do it. Come on. Like,
screw
him.
Go
screw
ahead
him.
And do it. Give it your best shot.
Okay. Okay. Oh, actually, here's a normal voice. So Steve, an unregistered poster, who could very well be the person who tipped me off to this all mm-hmm. these shenanigans, comes in and says, they wouldn't. You aren't their kind. Chances are they would just use you for your money and leave you. It's the sad truth. Get over it. And then Enigma 13 responds,
well, that's a pretty sad view of things. It depends on who you're talking about. For example, if you're a Digimon lover, it doesn't matter if your Digimon loves you or not. It'll be by your side always. So you may as well add some intimacy to the relationship.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's hot right there.
Yeah.
But for other characters, that may indeed be the case. The question is, will it be worth it just to have seen them?
I think we need to have a link
Wait,
to the thread because all these images.
Can we go back to that guy's
are...
logic?
Okay, let's go back to it. Yeah.
He's saying that
since
they won't leave you anyway, you might as well have sex with them?
Yeah,
that was his point.
Your Digimon, it doesn't matter whether they like you or not because they're by your side. So I guess
so you might as well bone them.
Anything about Digimon?
I'm assuming it's just like Pokemon and they're kind of slaves.
Mm-hmm. No, I have you know they're totally different.
They'll obey you no matter what you do. So you might as well, in his words, you might as well add some intimacy to the relationship. I shudder to think about when someone takes that kind of reasoning to their
their pets and everything else. You
know, yeah, that guy shouldn't be allowed to have cats.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Or children.
Or anything. You shouldn't even be allowed to have, like, a goldfish in a bowl.
Put the fish back, honey.
Yeah. Anyway, we've made it to the end of yet another episode of somebody else's podcast. And what have we learned? Well, we learned that Major Nelson has some big fucking balls. We've learned that Nelson and Natalie are not always right, and that Super Contra was not on the Super Nintendo. And we learned some pretty disgusting things at the Games for Windows podcast. I'm not even going to get into that. Hey, if you're one of those people that likes what you heard, then I strongly suggest you head on over to Defunct Games. That's Defunct Games at www.defunctgames.com. Or you can always email me. My email address is loser@defunctgames.com. And if you go to the website, you'll of course find multiple ways of contacting me. For everybody involved, my name is Cyril Lachelle, and I thank you for listening to somebody else's podcast. We'll be back with more stuff later, so keep smiling.
This is Radio Free Gaming.